A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Before we start the podcast, a quick word from our sponsor. Thank you very much to Cornerstone. They are the finest razor on the market. Don't believe us, believe the GQ Awards, who voted them above Wilkinson Sword and above Gillette as best razor. You could get yours, including a free aluminium German engineered precision shaft, for as little as £4. You can try this out with no obligation, mail order, so you get your razor stuff when you need it. And the reason you can get it for just as little as £4 is because you're listening to us. Just go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or JB.
Or Egg 10 at checkout, Tim.
Get involved. Cornerstone it is. Go. Cool. There we are. Facebook Live's rolling, JB.
Facebook Live is officially on.
Excellent. Anyone logged on yet?
No, because I say Facebook Live is on. It hasn't actually started, but it'll be fine. It will start shortly.
It will start shortly. Right. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We've got two-thirds of the normal trilogy. I'm Tim, JB's right here.
Hello, Tim.
Phil's on his mini-moon.
He certainly is.
In the south of France.
He is, because that's how he rolls.
Yeah, exactly. That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, so.
Well, not so much, actually, because if you're watching on Facebook Live, you will be able to see right now, but very shortly you'll be able to hear, we have a special guest, Sail Sharks, Jonathan Mills.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Millsy.
It's a pleasure, mate. Absolute pleasure.
This is the circles JB now moves in, where he's just got all the... Where's Millsy down on your speed dial out of the Sail players?
Right at the top, mate. Right at the top.
It's only because Tom Brady's gone, though.
That's very true. Right, so the way this works, Millsy, is we... And we got told off because on Facebook Live we weren't actually putting our hands in, but we start the podcast by just putting hands in. I know that might seem a bit weird, but what do you do just before... you go out onto the pitch at Sale. What's the last thing that's done?
Stick our hands in, to be fair.
All right. There we go.
That's what we go with.
Well, let's do it. All right. Hands in, pod on three.
It's a stretch.
One, two, three, pod. Right, then, let's go with this podcast then. After another weekend of Premiership rugby, ahead of the European rugby, which is coming up, and we've got a man who's going to be in one of the toughest pulls in the European Champions Cup, so we can pick the brains of Jonathan Mills on that one. We've also got the Rugby Championship, which has now come to a close. But I would just like to remind you, we're on Acast and we're on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. If you would take a moment of your time just to leave a review on iTunes, that would be absolutely spot on, like Bob2904 has done. He says, as smooth as craft beer, sharp as a Cornerstone razor, tough as a touchscreen phone case. The lack of insight into Pro 12 is a bit disturbing, but very much appreciated. Need a bit more MotoGP coverage. How's your Pro 12? You must keep up with the Pro 12, Millsy.
I see the results now and again. I'm not. I don't look at it too much. I've seen the Scarlets. I think did they win yesterday?
I think they snuck a win.
They snuck in against the Dragons.
So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for us. But I keep an eye on it now and again.
Are you a Scarlets fan? Or is that how you?
I wouldn't say I'm not really a fan of anything down there. Obviously, I played for the Scarlets, and then I grew up in Neath, so. Probably the Ospreys would be my region.
Yeah,
so.
See, they do talk, don't they, about the different regions. And the Ospreys have been the only actual region because it's not an old club. So everything else is a super club, and then you've got Ospreys, which has kind of got rid of the Neath and the Swansea-ness, and then they are now just Australia, or whatever they call themselves. So,
El Moose left a 5-star review and told a little bit of a story from the past. He said, my favourite rugby story... Bath versus Gloucester 2001, the great junior Paramore was playing. Every time he touched the ball, there was a one-eyed Bath fan stood next to him shouting, "You're a murderer, Barrymore!" and shouted it literally every time Junior Barrymore got the ball.
Barrymore.
So by the end of it, he was rattled. It's not very good. But have you ever been bothered by something someone shouted, or have you ever heard and then it got in your head?
No, I think not so much for me. I think a few of the lads were getting abused on Friday night. A bit of banter coming from the fans.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. It was quite posh though, being down in Bath. So it didn't really affect the lads too much.
Well, they always say about Bath and Gloucester, like Gloucester's meant to be the working class town, and Bath is meant to be, you know, all the posh boys.
Oh, I don't know. Gloucester's in the Cotswolds, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
like that's where the royal family
all hang out.
Well,
that's exactly it. I mean, they always used to say that the Bath boys were like local guys, and the Gloucester team, although it's got this gritty kind of appearance, was full of solicitors and accountants back in the day.
Well, yeah, I lived in Bath, and like I say, that's the only chant they've got is Bath, Bath, Bath.
That is great. Yeah. I fully endorse it.
And I did get an anecdotal review at the local rugby club where I took my lad to mini rugby today. He said, why the sudden and intense interest in Sale Sharks from JB?
Well, because they're a great team. Because they're a great team full of great lads. I mean, what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah, we will. We will. We're going to talk. We've got someone who's involved in one of the Premiership games at the weekend, so we'll pick Millsy's brain a little bit. But I think we should start with one of the biggest stories from the rugby world in the past 7 days.
Yeah.
Aaron Smuth. Where do you start with this?
Where would you start?
He's had a shocker, isn't he? Let's be fair. He's had a shocker.
I'm not that fond of the All Blacks. I haven't really been. I'm not fond of all this culture stuff. And I think this is really as low as I've ever got. And it's not because of what Aaron Smith has done. It's because of how it's all been handled. Now, have you seen his apology?
Well, do you want to listen to his apology? If anyone hasn't been on, if you've been on another planet and you haven't heard this, Aaron Smuth was in an airport, right,
mm-hmm.
with the All Blacks on their way to the next game. And he disappeared for some quiet time with a female.
Well, you know, he was entertaining a female.
Yeah.
I don't know, was he talking about Brexit maybe? Or, you know, foreign currency exchange? Well, what was going on there?
Telling her how to, showing her the perfect passing from the base of a ruck.
Exactly.
Perhaps.
There's all sorts of things. So it wasn't clear.
But it was clear enough that he felt he needed to do this afterwards to the waiting media press after he was caught. Play. Come on.
Oh no.
Here we go. No, it's coming.
I've made a huge mistake. A huge error in judgment. I'd firstly like to say a huge sorry to my partner Tegan, her family, my family.
Oh, no.
Also sorry to my teammates. NZRU and New Zealand fans. My behaviour is unacceptable. And if you could respect me and my partner in this situation. I'm just trying to get home to deal with this. Thank you.
Oh my God, right. Okay, so I've only got 40 minutes of material on this. So what? Give me a shout about 40 minutes and I'll go into my last 15. How do you come back from that? Not only have they put him in a terrible position, I think they put the lads in a terrible position as well. Because they've got the whole this culture thing going on. And instead of saying, right, as the NZRU, we're going to ban him because he's in the all-black jersey and he's done something which isn't to our liking, they put it to the senior players, and it's the senior players that are banned him. So my question would be, how do you then come back from all this and reintegrate into that squad after you've been crying on TV? And second of all, is that video done at an airport? Did they not have enough time to get him out of the airport, or did they just record it like 5 minutes afterwards?
I don't know the answers to a lot of those questions. I mean, people get themselves in situations. You know, there was a Sale Sharks pre-season bonding thing a few years ago. Danny Cipriani got knocked over by a bus. Were you there
nothing
for that
to do
one?
With me, nothing to do with me. I wasn't there, so I can't say I know anything about it. Or
so stuff happens. That's what I mean. But
here's the thing, right? Can you come back into the squad after that apology on camera?
Yeah, you can come back in the squad. You'll have a load of banter for it, but you'll definitely be allowed
yeah,
back
the stuff that everyone will be saying in public, and then the stuff that will be said and the banter that will be flying around in the changing room.
Yeah, they've got to send the right message out, don't they? They're going to say, that's what that is. Send the right message out.
I get it, you know, but my message would be this. Don't apologise, don't explain, close ranks, it'll be dealt with internally. And everyone else can go and, you know.
Yeah, but I guess somebody must have got hold of it outside of the circle, say. And yeah. Then, you know.
But
they're trying to put that under the carpet and that comes out.
I just say something might have happened, it might not have happened. It's internal. We don't apologise, we don't explain, and then we'll move on. I think this is one of the worst cases of just leaving your teammate out to dry I think I've ever seen. It's the antithesis of team spirit, teamwork. If I was Aaron Smith, I'd get onto my agent now and tell him, I can't go back to the boys because I've been crying on camera. Please get me a contract in France or a marquee place. I'm gone.
I'm with Millsy. I think it's the public versus the private. Yeah. You've got to be shown to be doing the responsible. Well, no, you've got to do the responsible thing.
Imagine the uproar if they'd done what you said and it got out in public.
Well, you know, uproar.
No, but the uproar. Someone
recorded audio and video.
Yeah.
Hang on. If it's audio and video, it's coming out anyway. It doesn't matter. It's coming out anyway.
Well, exactly. So imagine if you tried to just, you know,
cover it up.
No, you're not covering it up. You're saying that we'll deal with this within the team confines and it's nothing to do with you guys.
I mean, then you'll get judged on if you dealt with it properly or not.
Fine.
So
judge.
They've decided to take the preemptive strike and put it down, ready to go.
I've got to say, it's not the way that I would have gone. And also, what are we judging here? I mean, look, he's a young man, he's a professional sportsman, and unsurprisingly, he's full of testosterone. In fact, there's probably a direct correlation between people who are good at rugby and high testosterone levels. In fact, if you want to cheat at rugby, you'd probably take extra testosterone to make you even better. Is it that surprising? And why are we all pretending to be morally outraged by this whole thing? It was kind of expected, surely.
Right, well, there's people tuned in and leaving messages on Facebook. So if you have a thought or a question or whatever, like Will Parslow said, perhaps he was just showing her his tackle technique.
Ray, banter, 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 banter.
Yeah.
On a serious note, though, like in Sale, do you have like a players' committee where you decide stuff?
Not discipline. So, you know, obviously we talk ourselves. If somebody messes up, we'll get into them and try to. But it comes down to the coaches. End. I don't think you can get it too player led. Otherwise, who's running the joint? You need somebody like Dimes to be the head of it, and what he says goes.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. Do you think it's weird then that they let the punishment be meted out by the players rather than the?
Again, is that is that for people to see? Do you know what I mean? Is it actually that's how it's come about, or because if you're saying that. And they've only got a one-match ban, say, that's the most lenient you could be.
Yeah, that's the only kind of silver lining I can see to this.
So maybe the players looked after him.
Yeah.
If he'd gone the other way, it could have been more.
And maybe they said, look, I'll tell you what, Aaron, we'll take this off your hands. We'll go and have a week. You know, we're going to go and sort stuff out.
Yeah.
Get yourself away. And I think that's what's happened here. Should we talk about the rugby element, though?
Yes.
Because aside from all of that, that's a sideshow from the real fact, which is the All Blacks chalked up a record win against South Africa. So have they got better or has everyone else got worse? Because here's a little stat for you. The try table, you know, quite apart from all the, you know, maximum number of wins and everything that New Zealand chalked up, New Zealand scored 38 tries, which is 6 more than the other 3 nations combined.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. I've just been told on Facebook that he's going to face the player part was only part of it. There's going to be a tribunal in New Zealand later next week. So expect Aaron Smith near a French club by you soon. So back to your question, Tim. I don't know. I simply don't know. They look like they could beat anyone at any time. They look like world beaters. But it does feel like all the other Southern Hemisphere teams have taken a step backwards.
South Africa and Australia particularly, I can't think of a worse South Africa team. I can't think of one.
No, I can't really think of a worse Australia team, quite frankly.
It depends what they're trying to do in it, because they might be trying to aim for the next World Cup, and if they are blooding players who are going to be involved in that, then they probably take the long-term view. But again, it's a tough one, isn't it?
8 tries in 6 matches for South Africa.
Yeah, it is
horrendous.
Yeah, it's very strange. But there again, South Africa have got a win over Australia. Australia have got a win over South Africa. I think, have Argentina beat South Africa in Argentina?
I think they did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're all, except for the Argentina, quote-unquote, home game this week, they're all taking points off each other. So they sort of seem kind of at parity. And it'll be interesting to see how they do in the autumns, because until we see the autumns, we're not going to know, is this All Black team really that good? Or has everyone just fallen off a bit? If they come over here and Australia win three games and South Africa win three games, well, then almost all is forgiven.
I'll tell you what, one thing it does probably put into perspective even more, as we've been talking about, and maybe you'll have a comment on this, Millsy, but is Wales's performance in the summer out in New Zealand.
3-0. When they got nailed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know it was 3-0 and stuff, but the chasm between the All Blacks and the other Southern Hemisphere teams is massive, and it does put those Wales games in a little bit more context.
Yeah, well, and the fact that England went out there and put 3-0 win over Australia in Australia, which has never happened before. Yeah. So, yeah, as I said, I don't know, it's still early days. We've just had a World Cup about a year ago, and teams are starting to find their feet again, and they got players coming in who they haven't been there before, etc. So, I think at the moment World Rugby, it can only get better, because it's not been as enjoyable as it's been before.
Do you think the All Blacks are sucking the joy out of rugby by being so good?
I get bored watching them because I know they're going to win. So, you know, but that's how good they are. So
I watch
all
them,
you can do is applaud them.
I'll tell you what struck me when I was watching them is how little they actually talk. All I saw was South Africans just jabbering to each other at every breakdown, and the All Blacks and I think that probably just demonstrates that they're all just so in tune, know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And is that the best teams you've played in, when there's nothing needs to be said, it's all almost telepathic?
If you're scoring tries and you're winning, who needs a talk? You don't need a talk. There's not much need fixing, does it? It's more when you're getting points scored against you, when you start chatting a bit more, because you get a bit more irate. It's fun when you score on the tries, isn't it? I think, as you said, they're just like a well-oiled machine, really. They all know what they're doing. They all know where they need to be. And it's almost like that. Even if you can't see the player, you know they're there in attack. They're just there to make those passes. In defence, they know they're going to make those tackles. So it's a tough one. You know, they are that good, which is quite sad, really.
Yeah.
Just tell me this about chatting. One person who stood out for me, this is, you know, now I'm really into Sale. Mike Phillips. I was watching him against Bath, and I've watched him quite closely, because I wasn't sure what we were going to see from Mike Phillips as he came in to retire. It's almost like a feeling after he got dropped from the Welsh squad that he wasn't at his best. I've watched him. I think he looks absolutely superb. But his chat, what I noticed is he doesn't even look at the breakdown. He's so busy looking at everyone else. And then when he makes a decision, he goes in, bows, and just launches it. It's actually very, very, it's very, very impressive stuff.
I mean, you're asking a technical question about Mike Phillips. I'd ask another one. It's like, is he as top a lad as I want to imagine?
He is a top lad.
I can imagine he is.
He's a top lad. Of course he is. You know, most boys from Wales are. But he's a top lad, Phillipsy. And, you know, I think he's come in, and obviously with Strings being there already, between the both of them, we've got some quality players at nine. And it's great for, say, young James Mitchell, who's there. And he's got two guys in front of him. We've got 90-odd caps for the country. Phillipsy's played for the Lions. And if he can get anything out of them, he'll be a good player.
Yeah, yeah. He's looked class last... when did I see him? Do you know what? I was going to say the Gloucester game. And the reason that I'm not going to continue with that is because they moved him to 10.
Yeah.
So wasn't a great move.
Enough said about that one. I'll tell you what, we will get onto the Premiership games in just a second, because there's been some interesting... There's been some pretty rubbish ones over the weekend, but there's been some top games as well. So we'll get into those in a minute. But a quick game of rugby social?
Yeah, why not?
All right, so we know Al... it's Millsy with a Z, Neath is where you can find Jonathan Mills on Twitter. I didn't know Millsy was coming because JB kept it a secret. So I haven't raided Millsy's Twitter account for Rugby Social, but we know how much rugby players do love getting on Twitter and Instagram and the like. So I have got some of the activity that some rugby players have been up to this week. JB, Millsy, you can play each other and play along as you're listening. So we start with our favourite Ellis Genge, who tweeted what to Freddie Burns? And I still don't know the reason for this, but what did he tweet? Was it a video of a toddler pulling down a woman's dress and exposing her breasts at a party? Was it a video of a toddler riding a dog? Or was it a video of a toddler running another toddler over in an electric truck?
Good question.
What do you think Ellis Genge would be?
I'm going for the truck.
Oh, I was going to go for the truck. I'd go for the dog because I've seen those videos before of little kids riding sheep. Do you know the miniature rodeo things? Yeah. So I'm going to go for that one.
Millsy 1-0.
Yes.
I don't know why, but yeah, he just went, Freddie, check this out. And it was a video of a kid running another kid over. right. Sausage legs. Mark Atkinson walked in on his housemate, Jacob Rowan, doing what? Watching Bargain Hunt, playing Guitar Hero, or reading Good Housekeeping magazine? What can you imagine Jacob Rowan?
You can go first, sister.
It has to be Guitar Hero, right? It has to be. No one watches Bargain Hunt.
I'm going to go Bargain Hunt.
Do you get daytime TV? Do you ever? Because you must be knackered when you get back. Do you go for video games or crap telly?
I'm grafting with the little one when I get back.
Oh, yeah. Are you?
I'm non-stop with her. She tires me out. So there's not much TV on until she's gone to bed.
Well, what's your average day? When do you tend to come back in from training?
It can change. It depends on the week's running. But usually I'm back about probably 3:30. It depends on if you've got treatment, etc. You've got to stay a bit longer to get something sorted. Yeah, about 3:30, I'd say, is on average.
And how much of that time do you spend actually in your kit doing rugby stuff?
Well, I got, so like a typical day for us would be there. We'll do in the morning, we'll do an hour weights, hour unit session. So there's 2 hours gone. Break in between, have brunch, team meeting, out again for a rugby session, team session, either be attack, defence, or combo session, and then food again after. So
nice. Now this is obviously the question everyone wants to know: how's the brunch?
Well, we've got a new chef starting next week, so maybe that can answer it for
what
you.
What happened to the old one?
I don't know. I don't know if he's gone somewhere else or what. I don't know, but he's been there for a long time, so he I think he's left a few people behind who have been there for a long time with him, but. It is what it is. We've got a new chef coming in. Hopefully we get something new.
And what are we talking here? Like eggs benedict?
Pretty much scrambled egg, beans on toast we can have, or there'll be a bit of fish there. Just, it's pretty basic. Nothing major. You don't need to reinvent the wheel.
No. Oh, nice.
It was Guitar Hero.
Get in.
Yeah. But what's interesting when you look at the picture is he's in his full Gloucester kit. Well. Playing, so it's like he hasn't got changed.
He just can't wait to play Guitar Hero.
So James Haskell, he says what? He tweeted that what is still one of his favourite ever albums.
Mm. Oh, hang on, he's into this silly music, which all the kids like.
Okay,
isn't he?
You can guess without the clues if you want.
No, carry on.
So one of his favourite albums ever, this is all time, a classic album. Is it Alanis Morissette, Craig David, or Bon Jovi?
He'll be Craig David.
Oh, I was going to bet my life on it being Craig David. Having said that, he does like to do the occasional cheesy social media post, singing cheesy songs with Chloe. And the Morissette one, I think that kind of fits the bill.
Right, okay. Well, Mills, he's won Rugby Social because it is Craig David. Born to do it. He just tweeted saying one of the greatest albums ever.
He was, if I'm not mistaken, he was on his turntables in a club somewhere this week.
He was. No, it was a restaurant called Bunga Bunga. An Italian restaurant.
Oh, right. Why is it called that then? What's the reference?
I don't know. They must have some parties going on in the basement. But there you go. I'm not sure if I were at Wasps, I'd let James Haskell look after the pre-game music. Who does the sale music?
I do now and again.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
What would we
power
expect?
Ballads?
It's been pretty much old school at the moment. We've got a lot of old school dance on there. Nothing rhythm as a dancer. Nothing too new. I think all the younger kids don't really know what's going on, but that's a whole lot. I'm quite happy with it.
Millsy wins Rugby Social.
Whatever.
Right, but there you go. Rugby players, watch out because I'm watching your Twitter account and I will name and shame. If need be. Another one, I'll just mention it. Tom Palmer, do you see he signed for Bordeaux?
No, I thought...
I didn't even know he was still playing.
I thought he was like doing an academy role. I'm sure I've heard something about Tom Palmer recently doing something outside of rugby.
He's just signed for Bordeaux for the season.
Wow.
I know. And just said that the thing he's going to miss above everything else is Nando's. So.
Wow. Yeah. Of all the things. You know, you're a professional athlete. You're on a fairly good salary, and the thing you miss the most is a South African themed, sorry, a Portuguese themed South African restaurant.
Do you know, because there are Nando's Black Cards which exist, which Andy Peters is the guy who gives them out.
Is that Does right?
He? That's true. It's Andy Peters is the man who gives them
wow.
out. Which is why I noticed Josh Charnley was having dinner with Andy Peters earlier this week.
I think he's got a black card, if I remember.
Josh Charnley?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, there you
wow.
go.
It's
Andy
he's
Peters.
My best mate now, so when he comes over to say he can take me food and everything.
Did you watch the Super League final?
I didn't. I seen that he got the try at the end. No, again, grafting.
Oh, tell you what, it's. I feel so, so sorry for Warrington. I thought that this might be their year.
Especially with all the injuries Wigan had,
yeah.
Boys Ed missing, but
that shows
how good Wigan are.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But
it really does.
Well, 62 years.
Is that how long it's been?
62 years.
And
yeah.
They have an amazing support as well.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole town turns out for it.
Yeah, I've been to a Warrington game a few years ago against Leeds in the semis when they were guaranteed to go through and they lost, and the support was phenomenal.
Hmm. Rugby Union.
Sorry.
So I was going to say, do you know anyone else who's got a Nando's black card? Because Andy Peters gives them out and some rugby players have them. Josh Charnley, we know.
I don't know.
I know Chris Robshaw's got one, but yeah, there you go. Let's go to the Premiership then. Phil's not here to talk about Ulster losing to Connacht, and there was a bit of a tasty game between Leinster and Munster, which will be relevant when we look ahead to next weekend.
But it will indeed.
Where do you want to start in the Prem then, JB? I suppose we should start with the big one, today's game.
Why don't we go timeline-wise and start with Sale Bath? We've got a Sale player here.
We've got a Sale player here, Sale Bath. Well, firstly, there's something that apparently JB learnt might have happened pre-game.
Is it true? Can you talk about it, or shall I
don't really know. Yeah, you can talk about it.
Well, I heard, and I put it on the Twitter immediately, that I think 7 Sale players got stuck in a lift. Now, you might think, oh, that's not funny, you know, technical failure, and all the rest of it. Then you realise 3 of these players are Avion Lewis-Roberts, Helani Alika, and Mujati. Now, that should be enough for any lift. But then you add 4 more guys to it. I kind of think, were they trying to test the limits of the lift? Because that would test the limits of most man-made structures.
Well, firstly, I'm just trying to gauge from Millsy's face if it's true or not.
I don't know, really. I don't know. I was sleeping in the afternoon, so.
Well, what were those boys doing in a lift?
I want to know where you got this information from. More importantly,
I know. I know everything at all times, continually.
So, if that had happened, would that be the sort of? I'm trying to think why that would be the sort of thing that people would be desperate to keep quiet.
Why would they keep me quiet?
Yeah.
Do you work for Hilton?
I don't know. It's just. I don't know, it was just, it's a bit weird, isn't it? I don't know, it's not a normal thing to happen, I don't know.
This is like, watching JB and Millsy right now is like Paxman, and what's his name, Michael Howard back in the day. So Millsy isn't confirming or denying.
He's not confirming or denying, but
our sources are good.
Yeah, so after that, well, why don't you tell us about the game then? How did you see it?
It was a pretty poor game all around, not just from ourselves, but from Bath as well, I think. You know, a couple of the tries they didn't have to do much for, and as a spectacle, I thought it was quite poor. But you know, we need to get a bit of consistency in our own game after having a good win against Leicester, getting 5 points at home, to then turn up there and not really get off the bus to an extent.
We'll get on the list.
It was just disappointing in the sense we set ourselves a good standard last week to then try to go on top of that. But then, you know, Bath and Omar, they're still a good team. They've got some great players. Joseph had a great game for them. He played well.
He
so
did.
You know, they have got some quality players. Not that we haven't. It's just that sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose. But it's always tough going away from home in this league, no matter what.
Thomas, do you think Sale play in a way? I think you play in a fairly unusual way because of the league influences. That means that you can beat teams who we don't expect you to beat. But on the same token, you can lose to teams who we don't expect you to lose to, like Gloucester.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Gloucester done it twice now in the last
well.
2 seasons. Yeah,
yeah, and they ended the unbeaten
run,
home run. Yeah,
they did last home game, so that was disappointing. Obviously, we wanted to put that right, but fair play, they came up and got a win again. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, I can't put my finger on it. Why that happens? Why we say struggle against some of the so-called lesser sides, and then maybe we just get ourselves a bit more turned on for the match when we're playing some of the bigger teams. I don't know. It's a tough one. Maybe they find that they're not playing against as big a team. Maybe they switch off a bit. But you know, it's a tough one because we want to play week in, week out and play well, not just turn on against the big teams. When we play against the so-called lessers, we need to perform and get the results in. You know, they're the ones that matter more, probably.
Yeah, because I was convinced, I was so convinced I even put money on Sale winning at Bath, which is maybe not that sensible. Yeah, but I think it was basically a case, I mean, that Colin Foteli, he tried basically killed the whole thing.
Yeah.
But running up to that try, you started looking like you were breaking tackles, Bath yeah. looked like they were tiring. Then it just...
Need a bit of luck as well. And so far this season, the ball hasn't bounced for us a couple of times when I think at one point Sam James put a nice chip through and Will had some chase through in the first half. And the ball just bounced slightly the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Bounces the other way. Will's under sticks. But
yeah,
that's rugby. And hopefully it evens itself out during the year. And at some point we get a bounce that goes our way.
One question that, again, maybe you'll have to be, you know, go media trained. I don't know, I've just completely brain farted what the question was. I'll remember what it was in a second.
Well,
it's not like my job to talk or anything.
No. Well, I'll ask this. Will Addison, is he the most well-spoken, well-mannered guy who plays like an absolute psychopath?
Yeah, he'll throw his body about.
He plays like, I've said it before, he plays like he's trying to win a VC, not a rugby game. It's quite incredible.
He's great to have a new team. He's the type of player that you want to play with. You know, Will throws himself about without any worry about what happens to his body. And, you know, that's who people want to play with. That's the type of player you'd rather have on your team than not.
But there's a little bit of me as well. If I was one of the physios or doctors, I'd be like, just ease off. Remember,
we're like that. We're like that when we see him in training. We're like, oh, Will, yeah, just calm down. But, you know, it's built in him. It's, yeah. It's the way he works. And, you know, when he does on the weekend, that's all that matters.
He just goes to war, throws on some boots and off he goes.
Courtney Laws came out and said, I've been told and I'm trying to just modify the way that I tackle a little bit because I'm a bit too intense. But, yeah, he's had his fair share of injuries, but hopefully, touch wood,
yeah,
he'll stay fit because he is having a great season already. And kicking sticks, is that set to continue, do you reckon?
Potentially, yeah. If he keeps
6 from 6, did he not?
As long as he keeps kicking them over, yeah. Why not? You know, if he's kicking well, why would he change it?
Yeah, and lucky not to go on to Saxons too.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we go on to the next game?
Yeah.
Exeter Gloucester.
Yeah. Well, just one thing then, because it popped up in that this is the question that Millsy might have to be media trained on.
Ah, here it is.
But it was a feature of the weekend for me. There's been a lot of good officiating, but there was some really frustrating officiating throughout the weekend a little bit. If you could wave a magic wand and just sort of say, I want the game to be a bit more like this or a bit more like that, then what would you do in terms of officiating? Because the long TMO stops, how's that for a player?
I think the one that frustrates me the most is that you've got the TMO and you've got the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
So whose decision is it to make that choice? What is the point of having the TMO there if the ref's just going to look at the screen and make his own decision? Because I think we played against... we played Worcester away.
Yeah.
You had the referee making the choice different to what the TMO was saying. Mm-hmm. So what's the point of having one of them there? If the ref's going to make the decision, he might as well have the TV in front of him and him make that choice, going on what he sees, rather than having the TMO there.
Yeah, because
he's still got the test judges there to assist him if he wants another advice.
I see what you mean, actually, because they've stopped saying, haven't they, is this a try, yes or no? They say, show me on the big screen, and...
Yeah, so you might as well just have a screen there for the ref to look at, and then at least you're going to get a consistent decision all the way through.
Wasn't there one as well? Wasn't there one in Friday night's game where so many phases and about 70 metres...
Was that when they pulled it back for Halani?
They pulled it back for Halani Alika. Yeah.
And like, it was a nothing tackle. It
wasn't a penalty, but you almost think because they went to the trouble of pulling it back 70 metres in about 7 or 8 phases, they sort of felt like they had
to follow
through.
But again, I think at that point the ref felt there was nothing really going on, but the TMO was quite adamant of what that something had taken place. But then, I just think you might as well just have the ref have a look at it, let him make that decision, because he's the one out there making the decision.
Exactly.
If he thinks it's nothing, he thinks it's nothing. And then it takes that middleman out of it. You might as well, him and the stats judges are seen as a unit. Or if it goes to the TV, it stays with him. It stays with the TV guy. He makes that choice rather than having two people deciding it between them. Just make sure it's one person's final say, and that's it.
Yeah, I think they should tighten it up. I mean, I don't think they should go back for any... I mean, we've got to accept now, haven't we, that foul play, as in punching and fighting and all that sort of stuff, has to be looked at again. That's where we are now. But But I don't think he should go back for potential offsides. If the ref has said, yeah, it's fine, play on, play on. If it's a slightly forward pass and the ref has picked it up, play on. Those sort of technical infringements.
Well, on that, yeah, but on that Halani Alika one, that just the we tweeted out something at the time, and the comments, it's just so many. It's all the same. People just furious. That element's kind of.
I'm hearing a lot from my supporters now. They think rugby's gone soft. So you know, it is getting that way, and it's frustrating because obviously you want it to be safe. It's not. I'm not saying you don't want it to be safe, but when you're looking at that tackle that Halani's done, Atwood's falling away anyway, and he's falling into another guy. The question would be as well, if it wasn't Halani who did it, would they've looked back at it? Because there's plenty of decisions where the people get done over for a penalty, taking it back. But it happens to you during the game and nothing happened. Nothing. So, like we said, the other week with Worcester, with the back rower, he got the red card for the elbow.
Faris Olivia, yeah.
But was he red carded because of what happened? If he'd carried the ball and got tackled and nothing happened,
is it the outcome?
It wouldn't be a penalty. It's just because he's gone down and he's got knocked out.
Louis Picamoles runs into every contact with his forearms up.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I actually thought at the time that was a red card. I think looking back at it,
but what I'm saying is, they wouldn't have even if he hadn't have gone down and got injured or got knocked out, they wouldn't have even looked at it.
Which is what I've said. People are judging the outcome, not
what happens.
I guess it is an interesting question. Like, say if you have been concussed, do you like the second syndrome or second knock syndrome or whatever it is when you go out really easily? Like, you could potentially make a tackle and go out cold, and then go, well, hang on, like, what happened here?
Do you remember George North getting when his shin, was it his knee or shin or whatever?
On Hughes.
That's judging the outcome, not the. Anyway, someone who's definitely trying to make sure rugby doesn't go soft, Eddie Jones.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, by the way, maybe Millsy can't talk about this one, but.
you can talk about that, but
Johnny Leota might. While we're talking judo, he might get cited for a potential judo. It could get upgraded, from yellow to red, potentially. I hope not.
I get that.
I hope it's dealt with.
I mean, what
some people have been saying, that should have been a red, but...
Look, whatever he gets fined for that, Vince McMahon will reimburse him, so he's not got a problem, has he?
But Eddie Jones, definitely the England training camp is not soft. Brutal by the sound of it.
Poor old what's-his-face who broke his leg.
Sam Jones.
I mean, that's... I've done a lot of judo, I've done a lot of jiu-jitsu, I've done a lot of grappling, and I can tell you now, that kind of injury is so incredibly rare. I mean, I don't know what was happening there, but you've got to be so unlucky for that to happen. I mean, do you guys do any kind of wrestling drills or that sort of thing?
Wrestling in the sense shoulder on and that, but no, it's just more just getting your shoulder in a hole in and making sure you've got a good contact with them, not so much... It sounds a bit crazy to me doing judo.
I could have understood it a few years ago before the law changed to outlaw that kind of judo roll throw. But there used to be a lot of it going on in training, apparently, because it was legal at the time to do the roll.
Well, I tell you what, if you look at rugby league, they actually actively trained wrestling for a long time. You know, if you look at like how they lift players, how they manage to get players to ground,
they also want people on their backs.
Yes, they do.
So they want to flip them. They went on the back to slow the ball down. Whereas, I don't know. I don't think it's much of a transfer for me. I think.
Well, how about this?
Why would you want long people who would never be doing it as a professional thing, trying to learn judo?
And this is what the coaches have said.
I will give you.
This is what the coaches have said, is that it would be new muscles being activated. You're doing movements.
Yeah, but this is a leg break.
No, wait. But you're doing movements. No, but in general, you're risking it because you're doing movements that these professionally trained people aren't used to doing day in, day out.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. But a leg. I mean, you don't understand if it's a muscle tear or something like that. But a leg break is seriously unlucky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just. And I'll just give you an example where I think it could be useful. Lineouts. I think when you come down. In a line-out, a bit of judo to sack it wouldn't go far amiss.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, it's...
Just for me, I just think that they've made this arrangement with the Premiership Rugby of getting more time for England players with the coaches.
Mm.
The coaches aren't teaching them judo. Why aren't they... If I was a coach moaning about I'm not having enough time with them, I'd be using that time to do rugby coaching.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be doing judo. You know, it's not going to make that much of a gain to them, surely.
And it is unfortunate, isn't it, that they were bragging before the camp how tough it was going to be. and they're in the middle of a season. Not sure exactly how tough it needs to be. So there is a good point there.
That's upset some people. I think what's upset certain directors of rugby, probably most head coaches, directors of rugby, will be the fact that Anthony Watson went back to Bath and no one from the England camp had reported the fact he'd got a broken jaw. They didn't know. And Jack Noll went back to Exeter with a, he's done something superficial to his leg, but we couldn't find anything.
Is that
and
right?
Then, yeah, and then he went on, and then Exeter did a scan and found a 9 to 10 centimetre tear of his quadricep.
How did you find that?
MRI.
Well, MRI.
Will it show like a tear in the muscle?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, so Rob Baxter said, we got told it was nothing, really. It was just he's just a bit sore. And they found a significant tear that's going to leave him out for weeks. Now, what's happening at England that means they're not identifying and telling the clubs these injuries to players?
Well, that's very
and quite significant injuries. I mean, that's
broken jaw isn't. It's no laughing matter.
No,
excuse the pun.
But then again, but to defend England in the sense of like say the tear in Noel's leg, they got to let swelling go down before they can actually scan them.
Okay.
So maybe it was just an early diagnosis rather than a full scan to know what's actually wrong with them.
How important do you need to be in your squad before they issue you with an MRI?
not that important. I think if you need it, type of thing. It's not.
Yeah.
But again, I think a few of the boys we've had in the past, I know that you've got to allow for the swelling to go down. Otherwise, there's no point of doing it. You got to let the swelling down so they can actually have a look at it after as well. So
you've not needed any MRIs. I'm not shuttling you down.
I've had a couple on my knees, my foot. I think that's about it.
Interesting.
But there were a lot of England boys that had taken a knock, and some people that were held back from playing this weekend. Others that played, but kind of the directors of rugby kind of got the feeling that like George Cruz had had a bit of a knock, and they didn't really want him to play, but he did.
Played pretty well.
Played well.
Excellent.
Yeah. Played well, but Alex Good was kept back.
Yeah, Ben Youngs.
Yeah,
another one. I'm.
So it's interesting, before a run of European games and autumn internationals, to have a really tough few days.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well, like, how do you make that decision? Because a lot of guys were held back because of England. And then other guys, like say, Cruis, would just said, yeah, off you go and play. I suppose if you've got a big game, they need the big players, and that'll be that.
Mm.
But it does seem odd, this whole camp business.
Well, in terms of workload, would you think it's an odd time of year to be loading on some players?
It's not so much the load, it's not... Training's training, rugby's training. Rather than do that judo, why not do two rugby sessions, which aren't going to be as intense, but you can still get a lot into it, a lot of information. The players up in England are good enough players. They're playing well enough to be selected, so they're very good players. Why not use that time in midweek, in between two games of Premiership standard, to organise something that you need for the autumn? You know, there's way you've got time with them to do stuff.
It is interesting. I mean, Eddie Jones with Japan went through the whole judo thing, particularly for his pack, and it was very, very successful. But there again, I can't see how much there is a good point, isn't it? I can't see how much you can get done in changing habits and techniques in one
one-off session.
Yeah. So,
Well, I'm sure there's going to be much more written about that, and apparently there's going to be a meeting. I don't know whether it's all or some directors of rugby.
Oh yeah,
I've called for a meeting with Eddie Jones on Thursday.
Yeah, so I understand Eddie Jones is going to a meeting with what's his name, director of rugby for Saracens,
Stuart McCall. Yeah,
in fact, he's going to their club meeting.
Yeah, if this had been Stuart Lancaster, he'd have been absolutely roasted. I think Eddie Jones...
Rightly
got,
so.
He's got a fair bit of credit in there.
Yeah, but of course it wouldn't be Stuart Lancaster, would it? Because they'd be too busy writing messages on shirts.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the difference.
That's what I mean. Eddie Jones, this is the first time he's actually sort of been tested in with the media and stuff, because he's been Golden Boy and...
Well, he still is Golden Boy. He carries on winning.
Fair play, exactly.
And they'll be doing judo every week.
Yeah. right, back to the Prem then, because we've got loads to talk about. I just want a quick mention for Newcastle, because they're probably the surprise. Well, for some people, they'd be the surprise package so far in the Premiership. They're a bit of a resurgent team. They're looking,
yeah, like they're a good team. I think it's taken them. It's the third season, is it, of the plastic pitch up there? And I think.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, you're not going to just going to change your squad overnight. Maybe 2-3 years is about the time it's taken Dean Richards to get a squad together where it suits that. That suits that ground, whereas it used to be the old wet pitch that you'd play on, big heavy pack. They've had to change it up a bit, I think, and they've probably had a few transfers in between that point to get them to where they are now.
And how did you find it when you played against them, both in terms of the plastic pitch and how they play as a unit?
I don't mind the plastic pitch, to be fair. I think Worcester's one I was very impressed with. It seemed better than the other two in the league.
That's right.
Yeah, it felt a lot better on the foot, to be fair. I don't know if it's a newer version of it or what. Newcastle, as I said, going from where they were to where they are now, from when I started playing against them 4 years ago, they're definitely playing a wider game, more expansive game, where I think, as I said a second ago, they've obviously signed players which are going to suit that game plan that they've got, which suits the pitch they've got now. So
yeah, I tell you what, I absolutely love their centre. One Pablo Cicchino, he's some player.
Great quads.
But he's just a good old, he's like little cannonball.
Yeah.
Plus the pitches, it's basically doing a deal with the devil, isn't it? You're going to have a slight advantage over everyone else, and then Saracens rolls into town. So pick your poison.
Yeah. What other games do you want to cover off?
Only say this about Gloucester Exeter. It was a draw. We don't need to talk about it too much. How impressive it is that Exeter knew exactly what they needed to do. Steenson puts the ball from halfway right into the 5 metre line. They drive over and score. I mean, I just think it's testament to how organised they are and how good they are as a unit. They had an exact aim, and they pretty much achieved it, except for the conversion.
That's what England needed in the World Cup, something like against Wales. Oh. We needed to know completely what we had to do, not have the choice.
It was just such good drills.
Yeah.
You know, get down there, more, score. And then lastly, is anyone going to get angry?
Leicester-Worcester.
Well, Leicester-Worcester is also Harlequins-Northampton. Is anyone going to be...
Harlequins-Northampton was a horrible game.
It was horrible, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, Harlequins showed a bit of dog, but it looked like two teams that are sort of playing to get their director of rugby changed.
Can't wait for them to get out.
It just, it was ugly. Well, really ugly.
I didn't realise this. Harlequins haven't lost at home yet. And it feels
they've won their three, haven't they?
No. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Wasps defeat... Well, actually, who they lost to? They lost to Wasps.
Ourselves.
So, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I just don't find them very, very impressive. I find them a bit soft, a little bit individualistic. But they seem to come up with the goods at home. And Adam Jones had a great game.
At Loosehead.
Yeah. Would you believe it? Yeah, you're right.
Now, that shouldn't be underestimated, because I know he's slotted in occasionally before, but that, I mean, how different is, I know you're second row back row, Millsy, but how different is Loose the title? That's just
chalk and cheese, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's completely, you know, you look at the body shapes of people, yeah. They're always usually a smaller loose head rather than a bigger tight head. He's done a job there from playing tight head all his career, pretty much, to be able to go there and do well. And you know, he wasn't up against no mug. He had Kieran Brooks opposite.
That's
him.
Right, yeah.
And was it Paul Hill? He came on as well. So to be able to hold his own against them and even maybe take it to them a bit as well.
And
you
played
know.
80 minutes. Yeah. It was unreal.
Lions year, mate.
Rolling back the years.
And lastly...
Well, Leicester-Worcester.
Oh, yeah, Leicester-Worcester. Just incredibly impressive.
That Vianney try.
Oh, what a try.
Well, hang on, there was a better try than that. Do you want to see Tom Brady's try?
I've seen the celebration.
Superb.
I didn't see the celebration.
The finish.
Tried to swan dive. He tried to swan dive, but he kept one foot on the ground.
Now, I need to know this for my fantasy rugby team, but JP Peterson's just being rested up, right?
Yeah.
He's not. Brady's not being picked first choice, is he?
No. You just keep JP Peterson, mate. You'll be fine.
It's good to see. It's good to see him getting a run out, because I remember a few years ago there was a lot of people talking him up as should be a Saxon, and he's got a good rugby brain, Brady. So.
Well, and also, if you're going to kick on, Leicester is as good a place as anywhere.
Yeah. Mind you, it seems like good business all round, with Paolo Adogwu coming the other way and getting some game time. Wow, his feet are electric.
Yeah, strong little boy.
Yeah.
He goes hard.
Yeah, he's a little...
Like 19 years of age.
Is he 19?
Yeah.
He's called himself Marcus Rashford of rugby, though.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I bet he took some stick after he said that.
tell me, how many people, if anyone, call Sam James the King of Wilmslow?
I don't.
He got a tweet from... Who was it? Was it Mike Haley?
Yeah.
Who quoted him saying... Lads in Wilmslow think they're, what was it? I can't remember, big lads of Wilmslow think they're it until I walk into a pub. # King of Wilmslow.
Yeah. Brilliant. Apparently that's what he referred to himself as.
Well, he's not in Wilmslow anymore. He's living with Ailey now, so...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
King of Didsbury now.
King of Didsbury.
King of Didsbury. We apologise. We haven't seen all the games.
Well, I have, actually. The only other thing I'll mention from that is... Vianney's try was out of this world. Now, whether it is a tackling, which is out this world bad, or he was out this world, I'm going to tend to give him the benefit of the doubt. But if you've not seen it, have a look at it. It's truly outstanding.
So how is we talk on our podcast and with our bunch of rugby mates, and you know, when we were playing and stuff, it would be WhatsApp. Say you'll have a WhatsApp group, do they, the players?
We do, yeah.
Yeah. Does that get...
Yeah, we just talk about training quite a lot. we just talk about rugby mainly.
So no, what happened?
It's a bit of banter flows about on there now and again.
So about January, do you have five names leave and it says such and such?
It's not January. January we're still about, aren't we? It's
such and such has gone to Wasps.
Usually, well, we know what's happening, but then they'll give them a bit of banter on the group. Then you won't they won't get chucked out until the end of the season, you know.
But that's it. It's when you leave or when you join, you're in, you're out. The WhatsApp.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I tell you what. There's one person who's still in our WhatsApp group who.
Oh, let's guess.
Who left from the last season? You can
from
have a
last
guess.
Last season, okay.
From last season.
From last season.
I'm gonna say Brady.
Nope.
No. So hold on. So, a coach is in it as well.
No.
No, because I was gonna say
that's dangerous. Man.
That's what I was thinking. I'm wondering how Dan Braid would go. He'd be like.
No, he wasn't in anyway.
Oh, was he not?
No.
One player who did leave
Taylor,
Tommy Taylor. No, it wouldn't be him. He'd be gone, obviously.
Sippers.
Nah, no. You won't get it. It's Vadim Kobolas.
Oh yeah. Everyone to a man who I've met loves. He's Vadim,
King of Moldova.
King of Moldova.
how many international props have dropkicked points?
He's got international points, isn't he? For kicking.
Yeah,
have you seen the kick of the conversion?
Yeah, we've got a touchline conversion, yeah.
We amazing. Played it on the podcast.
Yeah, we have. We've
amazing.
Seen it before.
Now, here's a really important question that every rugby fan wants to know. Who are the administrators for the Sale WhatsApp group?
Myself again, and nice. Sam Bedlow, one of the young kids, is on there. So.
Sam Bedlow, really?
Yeah. Well, I can delegate to him. He can do all the work then, can't
so
he?
So you're kind of like the social secretary then for the...
There's a few of us. Will Allison's in there, Dave Seymour and Charlie Ingle. So there's a few of us.
If there was a kangaroo court, who'd be judge? That'd be your job.
There'd be a few of us, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you'd be up there.
I'd help out, yes.
Yeah. Are the socials good?
Yeah, we have a good time. We've got... One coming up soon, so...
No. A Halloween one, by any chance, dressing up one?
It depends. The problem is, it's just with fixtures. You've got to try to work around...
So you've got a social coming up, right? Is it a case of lads, chip in X amount of pounds, or does dimes come? Or Simon Orange with a checkbook and say, here you go, here's a social kitty.
No, not really. We sort out ourselves because, you know, I think it's just... you don't want to take the mick either out of them. They'll sort us out now and again during the year at some point, but... Getting us a few drinks here and there. I think we had a social.
Not actually structured in. So in Saracens, they're like, okay, boys, off you go to New York and we'll
go and jump out of the plane.
Not like that. I think Sarries is the only one I know that's like that.
Yeah, I mean Saracens spend so much on their socials. I think it might even contravene the salary cap.
Well, it's there you are.
It's mental.
No, it's all pretty. It's just one of them. But team bonding, nothing too crazy. Just go out, have a good time with each other. Get home, keep quiet.
That sense, especially in a great city like Manchester or even London, wherever around the country, although some towns I think like the Bath boys, everyone in town would know about it if they were out in town. But it must be great being a in that sense, not being United or City, I've been in town when they've gone into a restaurant or whatever, and it's ridiculous.
It's different level, that, isn't
you can't
it?
Move.
You can't compare with that.
Yeah, I do wonder about that, you know, for rugby players, because the options for somewhere to live, well, if you're not in London, where else, you know, Midlands, Bath. I mean, Bath's nice, but you know, spending all this time there. Manchester to me seems like quite a reasonable sort of compromise, and like you say, because it's not as big as the football, you can be fairly anonymous.
Mm-hmm. So. For the young boys, it's the biggest concentration of students in the country.
Classic Tim. Classic Tim. Couldn't leave it in an episode, could you? last game, Wasps Saracens.
The Borg are back.
Yeah. Did you watch this?
I seen that the last 20 of it, yeah.
What do you think?
Sarri's being Sarri, isn't it? Winning games of rugby is
what
they're
doing. Like, what's it like playing that when you can plan as much as you want in the week and they just, it just feels like they're like a boa constrictor and just...
To be fair, I think they're quality outfit, you know, they've got great players around them. It's similar to what we're saying about the All Blacks. They're well drilled, they all know what they're doing. Mm. They don't need to talk that much because they all know what they're doing. It's... well, old machine, especially. But then last year, February, they loose a bit as well. They scored a few tries last year and all that. They're quite, you know, you look at that team, you look at that squad they've got. It's up there with any squad that's been there before them.
It really is.
Look to the league. Wasps are going to compete with them. Wasps got a good squad like this year. Them two, for me, will be for the squad depth that they've got and everything. They're going to obviously be top two. I can't see, you know, even Exeter are a great team, but they haven't got the depth that these two have got.
They'll be listening to our podcast now, pulling their hair out, saying, not again. But what impresses us here continually is when you look at their big names, they're not really big names. I mean, yes, they have their marquee signings, but we talk about it all the time, don't we? Props from Jersey, wingers from Doncaster.
And they've got loads of players from Nottingham. And
yeah.
Petrus Duplessis is turned into a
world-class prop. Or, you know, a high-class
Chris Wiles, Nottingham.
Yeah, and I don't know how they do this, but they...
Duncan Taylor, Bedford.
Yeah.
Bedford.
Was it
London
Bedford?
Scottish. Well, one of the two, anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't Toulouse, is what you're saying. It's just, whatever they're doing there and however they spot these players, it's quite incredible.
If you've got a spine in the team that they've got, though, you look at that spine. Hooker, two world-class hookers.
Yeah.
Second rows, number 8, 9, 10.
It is a good point you make, but, like, again... The hookers an academy project, academy product. Thank you.
But I mean, like the depth in that position.
Yeah, you're right.
So you've got you've got Brits in those positions. You've got Cruz. You've got Atoji. You've got Hamilton. What's his name? Just retired. Hargreaves.
Yeah, he was a great player.
Vonipola. You know, you look at that for a spine through that pack. Then you've got. Is De Kock still playing there? You know,
no, but Spencer, anyway, Spencer but De Kock, and Wigglesworth.
But you know, De Kock and Wigglesworth and them two. So you think what Spencer's learnt off De Kock for the years that he's been there? He's now in the England setup. You had Hodgson there last year with Farrell. You got Farrell with
Lezovsky.
So, you know, you got players in those positions. You can have not average players, good players around them. And they'll take you far. They'll take you a long way.
Well, what got me is the game against Bristol. Now, we all know Bristol aren't the class of the Premiership, but their whole back line, except for Brad Barrett, were basically their second-string players, and they still put 40 points on them. The only guy who's irreplaceable in that whole team is Billy Vunipola. They just can't replace him.
Well, now, what's amazing about him is he's a week in, week out, 80-minute player now, and that's what he's done. That's really just amazed me.
Yeah.
We talk about Adam Jones playing his 80 minutes, but Billy's been he's doing that to an unbelievable level the whole time. Now, Millsy, I noticed that the way that Sale work, you know, you're one of those players that every team needs where you hit rocks all day long and make tackles all day long. You do a load of the unseen work that wins ball for the other guys. But quite often you'll be, you know, 60 minutes and then Dimes will go, what a mate.
Get him off.
What a mate, Millsy.
Wheel him off.
come and have a breather. Let's carry him off. So how impressive to do what Billy Vunipola does for 80?
He's a quality player. You want them on the pitch for 80 minutes. You know, you want your best players on the pitch. And then, it depends what they've got behind him as well. I think the top teams use their bench, and you'd be silly not to in this league if you're not using the quality players that you've got to bring on, then what's the point of having them? Yeah. You've got to trust the players you've got on that bench, otherwise there's no point. But Billy Van Der Poel is a world-class player, and he keeps getting better, to be fair to him, and good luck to him.
And I've just got to take issue with your description of Mills' unseen work. First receiver work, in fact, I've noticed a lot of first receiver work, not just off you, but from the entire pack.
Yeah, which I think, you know, we're trying to play a bit of rugby, which it didn't happen on Friday. but that was 1-15 and the bench. We didn't really perform as well as we wanted to. But I think Paul Deakin's come in and done a hell of a job for us. He's really opened up the game of how we want to try to play rugby. And it's not to say that we won't do the tight stuff as well, but it's nice to have that mix.
Yeah. I think the thing we've carried on saying here is Sale are spreading the ball so well now.
Yeah, I think, as I said, Newcastle a minute ago, it's probably taken them 3 years to get where they want to do to play the type of rugby they're going to play, which suits their game. Whereas, you know, I think Paul's been there, this is only his second season, and we're still learning. New boys come in. We've got, you know, two new tens have come in now. We're learning the game. Philzy's come in, he's learning
how... Are you giving Mugford any banter for his tattoos? Tattoos and haircut.
Oh, Cipriani.
Answer to that is no.
No, we keep quiet with Gyps. No, he's sound. He's sound.
I imagine him and what's his name coming across from Wigan are going to become very good
Josh.
Friends. Yeah.
I think they get on quite well.
In fact, they were tweeting each other, so definitely going to happen.
JB, we've had so many comments the last few weeks on about the Facebook
feet.
Video about your feet.
I
keep
know.
Them down, mate. Or put some socks on, for God's sake.
Sorry, mate. Well, Facebook Live's down, so that's the end of that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Just cancel it because of his feet.
I think it might have been.
They can't handle it. So it's actually quite an interesting game, this one, because I've got a feeling this might be the Premiership final, and it gives us a little bit of insight to how it all might end up.
Marathon, not a sprint, but...
I've still got boys to come back. Tommy Taylor didn't play today.
Yeah.
Crews started a hook.
Yeah,
I'm not saying this will be the results.
No, but I'm saying, like, Wasps, they've probably been the most impressive so far this season for me, after seeing them.
Like, over half their tries have started inside their own half.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of why Saracens are so impressive. And do you know what I loved? I love how Wigglesworth just sucks life out of all games. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. He makes them, it almost like when he plays, it frustrates the other team so much that they forget what they're doing, because they're defending, and then he kicks it away. I think he's a superb player.
I'd be interested to see how Wasps go when the rain kicks in.
Good point, actually. Mm. Yeah,
because they're playing some great rugby, and if they can keep playing that in the rain, fair play to them. But it's not as easy as that.
I wonder if that's when they're going to swap. Kind of get like move Cipriani out, give Gopith the run at 10, have a bit more of a muscular back line.
Well, Sipper's kind of did that marshalling job at Sale the last few years. Like a lot of people think he has got the running game in his locker, but what he actually did the last few years, he actually kicked more than any other Premiership fly half.
He can defend as well, he makes his tackles.
Yeah. I was very, very impressed with him today. Mm. Particularly the outside break round Billy for the only try. I think England should reconsider their decision and maybe have a look at him.
It is interesting, isn't it? Especially with Farrell being kind of, well, they're talking about that he's going to be coming back. Actually, I spent a bit of time with Dylan Hartley this week.
Did you?
I was working at an O2 touch event, and Dylan Hartley was there as an ambassador, and he's back he should be back for this weekend's games.
Is he out with concussions?
Nope, it's his leg. He says he's basically just coming back. He's got he had some nerve issues in his spine, but now he's kind of hasn't been able to do weights on one of his legs, so he's kind of got a jelly leg.
That sounds horrendous.
So he was spending all day just like doing little hops onto one leg to try.
Yeah, Mike Williams apparently has got nerve damage in his arm, which again it sounds just horrendous.
Mm. Is that from the England training again? Or?
Yeah, we didn't mention.
Good question. No. I don't know, but he broke his arm twice.
Yeah,
last year apparently. And Cockrell says he's got nerve damage now, so he had to pull out just before the start of the game.
Mm.
But if Mike Williams is out, it's interesting. I mean, who are they going to put at seven?
I told you he'll end up there.
Do you reckon?
You never know, do you? Like they were chatting it up, weren't they, during the week? They were saying that he could play everywhere.
Surely it's Rob Shaw. I know Eddie Jones
but
seems
to be. He made such a big deal about him.
I think...
But that's cutting off your nose to spite your face, him not putting Rob Shaw to seven, but just because he made such a big deal. But that's the obvious thing to do.
Well, I kind of think that he'll go for Matt Garvey at seven before he goes for Rob Shaw. It seems to be that Jones has got a very clear idea of what a seven is, which doesn't match anyone else's idea of a seven. And all the attributes of that seven do not fit any of the attributes that Rob Shaw has, and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way from Haskell to...
Well, that's fine when everyone was fit, but now everyone's not fit. It's going to test that.
Then
so who would you put there?
Who would I put there? I'd probably go... I don't know whether Hughes and Vinopola would be at 6'8", would be too much... ball carrying and not enough hitting rucks.
Can you have too much ball carrying?
Yeah, well, yeah, because you need
mix. You do need a mix.
Rob Shaw and Haskell did so much of that that work winning ball quickly, so that Vunipola could, you know, much like Saracens do, where they let him be that ball carrier. So I don't know whether Hughes, but I'd be interested to see Hughes and Vunipola on the same back row together.
If everyone's fit, Vunipola, Hughes. Put Ewers at seven, just because I want to see it, you know? Just ball carry.
Just massive men.
Yeah, and hope
who's hitting rucks? Yeah.
Just hope you never, ever lose the ball.
I don't know. If not Hughes, then... Actually, yeah, you're right. God, I don't know.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I don't know. That's why I'm not paid Jones's money.
Maybe a Toji, then. Maybe.
Yeah, it'd be very unusual, wouldn't it? I said this before, like, how unusual would it be to put your best lock at seven? Maybe at six, but at seven?
Well,
he's played a bit back row, hasn't he, though?
He's played, as a kid, though.
He's played six for Saracens quite a bit.
He's a good rugby player. You know, I think he's playing brilliant, so you just got to put him on the pitch and he'll keep doing what he's doing.
And then
anyway,
you get to put in Launchbury.
Laws was the guy who went to six.
You get Launchbury or Laws as a second row, and you'd probably rather that than... Yeah, no, that's probably not a bad shout. Interesting. Well, that's Eddie Jones's call. We'll see who's fit by the time that comes around. Now, I should mention, because we haven't really talked about the Pro 12 matches, and I know that we have quite a few listeners in Ireland.
Okay.
It was described by one of our listeners as the biggest... derby match in the Northern Hemisphere, Leinster Munster.
He's probably got a point.
You reckon?
Yeah, probably.
There's a fair few turned out for it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, how many attended this?
I'll get the exact figure, but...
Because I guess that'll be our answer. But yeah, I think that's a fair shout. Who won?
Leinster won. They look really impressive. Johnny Sexton, man of the match. And yeah, Peter Omani was back, which is good to see. Played his first full game. Scored a try, but Leinster were comfortable winners.
The only game I've seen from Pro 12 this week was Cardiff versus Ospreys, and actually it was a good game to watch. I will concede that. And Davis at fly half looked very impressive, which is really, really interesting when you consider that they put Bigger on the bench.
They also said that Bigger's number one. So
yeah, well, who said that? Ospreys.
Ospreys said that.
It's easy to say, isn't it? But when Davis is on the field winning games against your local rival, who are good this year, you know, talk's cheap.
Yeah, but that league, though, does it really matter?
Not really. Well,
in the sense that you can rotate, and not that you don't want to win a game of rugby, but I mean, like, if you want to keep somebody happy, if you want to keep the players on the books, etc. And say, like Davis now, he needs to play rugby, wants to play rugby, wants to give him a starting slot. It's not like a Premiership game, I don't think.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean every Premiership game is like a cup final.
Yeah, you know, in the calendar, you could go, oh, look, we've got Zeba there, we've got Treviso there.
Yeah.
Do you know when you were at Scarlets then? Was it a different mindset when you were playing Pro 12? Almost as if you were working up to European Cup?
It was still early days when I was down the Scarlets. I think it was like the second, third of regional rugby, because obviously they still had relegation a few years before that in the Welsh Premiership. You could tell that some games meant nothing, especially towards the end of the season. They've changed it now with the fact that you've got to qualify for Europe. There's no guarantee of you being in Europe. You've got to get to a certain slot to get there. But I think the Irish region, especially the Holy Grail, is the European Champions
absolutely.
Cup.
I mean, them and Toulouse, you know, that those sort of caliber of teams look like they do nothing but target Europe.
Yeah.
Remember when it, like Celtic League first came about, and it's in the papers. I was fairly young. I was looking through it, getting very excited about all these regions playing each other in a cross-border competition. Then you'd watch it, and it'd be some mixture of players that you'd never heard of, with results which just didn't really add up because no one particularly cared.
Yeah.
It's got better,
but because now you've got to earn your top six spot.
Yeah,
to be
yeah, but there. I mean that's been going on for 1 year.
Yeah.
So. But to finish off, Cardiff Ospreys was actually a very good game.
And Connacht beat Ulster, which was a fantastic win for them.
Yes, mega that.
It ended Ulster's winning run, and Connacht now two back-to-back. So they've
had a few injuries, haven't they, Connacht, I think, so they must be having boys back.
And they've had a retirement as well, which doesn't help. And
the way they started that game, it was just like that proper, the blueprint for last year, just really hard. Really hard runners, and Bundiaki is looking awesome. So,
well, he'll look even better for Munster next year.
Well, should we get on to the European games coming
up
this weekend?
Let's do it, Tim. So, we will start on. Go on. How do you want me to do this?
The TV broadcasters don't particularly care about the Challenge Cup. Should we care about the Challenge Cup?
No, of course we shouldn't. We're serious rugby people.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, a Sale in Challenge Cup.
No, we've got an easy group.
Of course, yes.
Sale or Walk It, just Toulon.
I don't know why I asked that, because I've got you here.
Just Toulon, Saracens and Scarlets.
Where are you going to pick up your points?
No big deal.
To be fair, I think we've probably not got a bad start in the sense we're away to Scarlets, so...
A win on
no
the road
offense,
at
no them. Offense, no offence to them, but they're the team that's going to probably be the most likely one to win away from home.
Yep.
And then you've got Toulon on a Friday night at AJ Bell. So.
And they've not been firing.
No, they still are quality individuals. But, we haven't been firing at times. No. So we've got to take care of ourselves. But, at home, we don't fear nobody at home.
Yeah.
If anybody can, we'll give them a crack.
I'm not going to make any predictions because I made two predictions in 2 weeks. One, obviously, Sale, we're going to turn over Bath. Which, whatever. And the other one was Bristol might do better than I expected them to do against Saracens, and they were horrendous. So I'm not going to make any predictions about Sale, but I do think you can cause some upsets. So
I think at home in the Premiership anywhere, in this thing, again, people got to travel, and it's harder to travel and win away from home. So if you can pick up one away down the Scarlets, and then we'll start worrying about who's next after that.
Are you looking forward to your trip to Stade Félix Mayol?
Yeah, it'd be good. I haven't been down there yet, so I think the supporters are looking forward to it. So it's a great trip for them, and... Well, then give them a crack.
Nice.
I'll tell the supporters to take a Manchester Evening News down there to throw up in the air, along with the French newspapers.
Absolutely. Yeah. That might be one. Might be one that I go and watch. Who knows?
Right. So anyway, we'll skirt over the rugby as it where it's the Challenge Cup concerned, and focus a little bit more on the Champions Cup. So Thursday night's the first game: Harlequins, Stade Français, whatever.
Is this Challenge Cup?
Yeah.
Are we actually doing this? Are we?
Well, I'm just mentioning the fixtures. Right, okay. We don't have to talk about it. It's fine. Whatever. That's Thursday night. And that is the warm-up for Friday night. Now, I'll be working at this one.
Ooh, where?
Glasgow.
You're going to Glasgow?
I've not been to Scotstoun, no.
Is that the one they moved back to, is it?
Yeah.
So what have they done there? They've done out?
Or? They've had it done out a little bit. Well, I don't think the attendances are great for most games.
Will he be hanging out with your liberal media friends?
What's after, that? What do you mean?
After the game?
Oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about, Joey. No, I'll be getting over to Dublin. No, that'll be in Saturday morning.
What, you're doing two games?
Yeah. Friday night, Glasgow. So it's Glasgow v Leicester.
How the other half live, eh?
Loving life.
All of the money, none of the contact.
Glasgow v Leicester.
I am going to say Glasgow at home is going to be a narrow win for Leicester, but there's not going to be much in it. I think this could go either way.
I'm on Glasgow.
Oi. Big shouts.
What have you seen in Glasgow that makes you think that?
Again, just at their home. I think Leicester at the moment, they're still umming and ahhing and how good they are. They weren't brilliant against us on the road. So, Cockrell said they weren't great yesterday. So, they've still got work to do.
Oh, do you know what? We haven't mentioned this. They fired their defensive coach.
Scott Hansen.
Scott Hansen's gone, yeah. Which would be interesting to see who next.
Didn't they say Major's doing the defence as well?
Defence and attack?
I think so,
it looks
yeah.
like he's doing defence and attack at the moment, in fairness.
I'm sure I read that.
That's a lot of workload for one coach. I think it'd be unusual. I don't think there's anyone in the Premiership doing that. Is there?
No. What's the... So Paul Deacon looks after attack.
Yeah.
Dimes is forwards and overseer.
Yeah.
Overlord.
And then Mike Forshaw takes over defence.
Now, I heard one thing of... I don't know how... Is this true? But I heard this of Dimes. So there was a really hardcore pre-season session. This might have been last year, not the one just gone. And it was a really hard fitness session. It was the last one of the week. And just before it finished, he turned up with a little pickup with a load of beers in the back, started doing donuts around the ground.
I don't know about donuts. I've never seen him doing donuts. But usually at the end of the pre-season block, we'll all sit down and have a beer just on the pitch after the last conditioning set. So yeah, well, it sounds a bit fabricated, but
yeah, the donuts. It sounds like
yeah, the
Chinese
donuts
whispers.
Have been added. I'm sure.
Although I can imagine, I can imagine.
And was he firing a pistol in? Yeah. I tell you the best beers ever. Right, they sound to me like the best beers ever. Do you remember when the England team got caught urinating on the pitch in the Oval, the cricket team?
Yeah.
One of the reasons for that is because after the game, they took beers to the middle of the Oval after everyone had left. That sounds like proper beers.
Yeah, and then they got in trouble for just having a piss.
Yeah, yeah.
On the pitch.
Yeah, nothing to do with the beers.
Yeah. Let the boys piss.
Well then.
Right, so Challenge Cup, whatever. Grenoble, Lyon, Ospreys, Newcastle, Dragons, Brive, Bristol Blues. Yeah, whatever. So Saturday's fixtures, Wasps, Zebre. Wow. I mean, you've got the group you've got.
Yeah.
Scarlets will be tough. And then, obviously, Toulon, Saracens. And then you see Wasps getting Zebre.
Yeah, but that's all down to where they finished, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all
the seeded. You are seeded.
Oh, yeah.
Would you have been in the same pot as Zebre, then?
Probably, yeah. I think so. I think we were bottom seeds. But, like, 2 years ago when we were in the competition, we had Sarries, Clermont, and Munster. So... Mm. You're never going to get an easy game out of it, are you?
Yeah.
No.
Wasps, so we don't really need to talk about that one. Connacht, Toulouse. Have you seen much top 14? What's like Stade? What's the team that Rochelais? There's a team that have come out of nowhere and are doing really well.
Well, I mean, it's very hard to tell anything with the French leagues.
You must know people that play over there in France. Is it the meat grinder that it appears it is? Because they play.
It sounds savage with the away journeys. It just sounds like. I was speaking to Magnus during the week and he was saying, like, I can't remember what it was, they did like an 8-hour journey somewhere. But they played two games in like 4 days, so in the same area. So rather than even going home, they just stayed there. And then they played another game, they lost both games. But you can see why they lose games. But then, from what you hear, a lot of the time they send almost a second string away from home, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple of anecdotes relating to that. One is Toulon. In fact, both are Toulon. First of all, apparently Laporte would show up on a Thursday, and that would be... He didn't do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He'd just show up on a Thursday with a flip chart, and all the home games had a win next to it, and all the away games had a loss next to it, and that would be him done until Saturday, when he'd sit on the bench. And the other one was, do you remember when Toulon lost the top 14 final to Stade? Do you remember that?
I think it was 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, two years ago now. Obviously, it's a big trip. It's a flight up to Paris. They chartered the plane up to Paris, and then Bougelot was so upset that they'd lost, he got back on the charter plane, flew home alone, and sent the plane back.
Wow.
So that is a validated real story from a
wow.
top source.
Well, he didn't want to travel with the team.
Didn't want to know him.
Brilliant.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So Toulouse versus Connacht at home.
Yeah, Toulouse lost to Lyon. They got badly beaten up front, but I think they're gonna have too much for Connacht. Sadly,
that's pool two. If you had to pick who's gonna progress from pool two, Wasps you'd have to think would be one of them.
Wasps
and Toulouse.
I think Toulouse will be the favourites there still.
How's it work? Top winners of
winners, and then five? And then there's. You're in this, you should know.
No,
yeah.
It's a five groups. So
yeah,
five winners and three best runners-up, is it?
Five pools and... Well, there's five pools in the Challenge Cup, so I'm assuming there's five pools in the... Yeah, five pools.
Yeah, that's right. So
five pools, so winners and
winners
three.
Plus three.
Plus three, yeah.
I'd say Wasps as winners,
yeah. And that's the sort of, because Zebra are in that pool, that's one of the ones that you think one of the best losers, runners-up will come from.
Yeah.
Pool three then, here we go, Millsy, your pool. Toulon Saracens at the Stade Mayol.
Toulon Saracens. Well,
are you allowed to? should me and JB give our predictions longer than you?
Just because they're at home, you'd have to say Toulon.
I think Saracens will beat them. You know, or will they? See, here's the thing about
Mike Ford's their mastermind in it now.
Here's the thing about Toulon.
We haven't even talked about that at any point.
Toulon don't need a mastermind, do they? Because they're so big and so good at what they do. It's not like your game plan for Toulon. You've just got to show up and be bigger and stronger. And Saracens probably are fairly well equipped to take them on. I reckon bonus point loss for Saracens, actually. Yeah, bonus point loss for Saracens.
I'm going to go Toulon. And Scarlets host Sail Sharks at Parky Scarlets.
Sail Sharks, bonus point win.
We'll take that now.
Hear me now, believe me later.
Pool four, and I'll be working at this one as well. Leinster Cast.
I'd say Leinster.
In Dublin. You'd think Leinster have
looked... I know nothing about Cast, so...
they haven't been firing, and Leinster have looked really good. Against Munster, they were great. So, and it's mad when you think that some of the talent that isn't even... Robbie Henshaw played his first game for Leinster against Munster. He's now got a game under his belt.
Mm.
Keane Healy, Proper Church, hasn't even turned out yet.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be easy for him to get back in the side either.
Jack McGrath's looking great. And in pool four as well, this is a tough pool as well, Northampton versus Montpellier. Now, Ruan Pienaar, that's cleared that one up. He's going to be going to Montpellier.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I hoped that he might go to Sale.
We thought Sale.
Yeah. We've got two good lines at the moment. Depends what they're doing, isn't it?
Well, you can come, you can mix them up, 10, 15. I'm sure it'll be handy to have about.
Yeah, you wouldn't say no.
Yeah. That's a shame.
And so Northampton at home, you'd think... Well, I don't know, they haven't been...
They've been a bit shaky so far.
They haven't been
able
to score any points.
Who are they playing?
And Montpellier.
Do you know what? I think they're very well equipped to take on the French though, because they're so massive. Mind you, I say this every week about Northampton. They are so enormous. I can't think of a single team in the Prem bigger than them. They are huge. Mm. So, at home, they're going to win. They're going to squeak past Montpellier.
Okay.
Actually, Montpellier are pretty massive.
Yeah, they're big. Yeah,
they're full of Saffers, aren't they?
Big, yeah. Boys. I mean, well, you had them last year.
Yeah, we played them last year. Big set of lads.
Yeah, so actually, maybe...
White still there? Is he gone yet? Or is he...
Well, the rumour about White is... Well, he is going because Vern Cotter's got his job. But the rumour is that he's never got over applying for the England job. So he applied for the England job and the president has never forgiven him.
Oh, really?
So he is there, but he's not going to be there for long.
Right.
I understand.
Okay, we move on to Sunday and pool one. Racing 92 play Munster.
Good game.
Yeah.
In Paris, yeah?
Paris.
I have to say them.
I can't see past Racing. Mind you, they're not the mid-table in the French leagues at the moment, are they? Give me Racing.
And in Pool 5, both games in Pool 5 are happening on Sunday as well. It's a rematch. The final game of the weekend is that rematch of the dramatic game that saw Exeter squeak through.
This will be good. I think this might be the best game of the entire weekend.
Exeter Claremont at Sandy Park.
Give me... Oh,
but you talk about Exeter and Mills is absolutely spot on. They don't have the depth, and then they're missing quite a lot of guys.
They do have a lot of depth.
Don Armand, Dave Ewers, Jack Noel. They're missing some quite influential players.
I kind of disagree on that. I think they've got a lot of depth because, they've got to somehow fit in Sam Hill, Slade, Devota, Witten. They've moved Witten onto the wing, presumably to keep him happy. They've got two scrum halves. They've got a very good 10.
They have two scrum halves, but it's not like we were talking about the Saracens where you're replacing international with international.
Who is the out-and-out starter there?
What position?
At 9.
Chudley has been.
Yeah. Chudley's their number one.
I mean, they're both pretty good. And then you look at their second row, they've got they've got a work up between Lees, Walsh and
Parling.
It's not a bad situation that they find themselves in.
I think it's more, this is when you miss your frontline players in this competition. Mm. There is literally no hiding places that you need to play against Claremont. You need number ones, don't you?
So. You do. I think it's going to be a narrow loss for Chiefs, sadly. But it'll be a good game. Mm. And Mitch Lee's is enormous.
I'm going to go Claremont. Unfortunately for Exeter.
Well, that's it. That is.
Bordeaux Ulster is the final game in the Champions Cup.
Give me whoever the home team is.
Bordeaux.
There you go.
I'm going Bordeaux. Vadim drop goal to win it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, beautiful.
Have you heard from him since he's moved?
Yeah. He said the wine's good. He seems to be enjoying it. To be fair to him, he's a top lad, and good luck to him. I think he's got 3 years out there. So.
How good was he at deadlift? I imagine he was immense.
Just deadlift. To be fair, I've never really seen him do much of a deadlift. He's just a block. But he's got great skills in him. Skills that he could pull off, just hands and.
Apparently, it's his wrestling.
Wrestling. Yeah. Brilliant wrestling. Brilliant. You know, I said you were on about like the grappling we would do. You'd be doing that with him, and he'd like spin you around. And just be like, how have you even done that? You don't even know what's happened there. It's like you've blacked out and you're facing the wrong way with your arm between your leg or something stupid. But he's such a top lad and really nice guy. And you know, you ask him to do anything, he'll do it for you. And he,
I tried to get him in the rugby dungeon the week before he left, but we just couldn't quite get it together.
Yeah, no, they, top lad.
I noticed I saw a picture of Gloucester's gym, and I think was it Exeter? I was down at Sandy Park, and there was something in their gym there. Or no, it was Worcester, and they had PBs for squat, bench, deadlift. Who would get the PBs at Sale? Not PBs.
The fridge would be up there.
Would it?
Yeah. Oh, he's strong boy. Brian's, you know, he got a fair fit, but the different type of strength. Brian's really like well trained strength, whereas Fridge is just
can wrestle a cow.
Yeah, pretty much. I think he has. Yeah. No, you see, it's quite funny. You see him put the weight on the bar, and they're just bending around him. Ross Harrison's a strong boy.
Yeah,
really good technique. Ross's got.
The fridge taken you to the Feathers yet?
I have been to the Feathers. Yes, I have. I'm not a lock in there, but I have been there.
Tell me about the Feathers.
Feathers is the fridge's brother's place in Rhythin, and when I go down to see my Rhythin friends. That's where we go out. It's a fine establishment.
Now hold on, I'm just so you played for Neath when you were growing up, not when you were young. I mean, like
when I was young, I was around the Neath area.
Oh, okay. I was just because you mentioned Ruthin, I played at uni with Rob.
Oh yeah,
Rob Higgett and
Higgy.
Yeah, Higgy and Owen Evans. It was, but they talk about. I'm.
So where do you go uni? Bath.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How did you go to Bath or not?
No, I did. I went to. I was at Exeter, but then I was Bath for 1 year.
Well, I was Bath for 1 year.
Doing
as well.
Postgrad, and then you came.
I remember it was 2003 World Cup year when England won it.
I was year previous.
Yeah, there you are.
No, I remember you being there. Anyway, so I play with Robert, but he talks about more than any of his games he's played for any professional side. He talks about beating Llanelli when he was at Rhythin.
Brilliant.
At age group level. Amazing. I just wondered if you, because you're a similar age, I wondered if you would have been in that Llanelli.
No, team, I weren't, no.
You were down at Neath.
No, I was down Neath way.
Yeah, that team had Peel in it. It had all sorts of stars.
Brilliant.
There you go. Good days.
We've not done Cornerstone.
Oh, yeah, because like Yestin Lewis was the coach. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
We've not done Cornerstone.
Oh, my God, we haven't done that. That's outrageous.
Let's...
We should do one at the end to put in near the beginning.
Fine. Let's do that.
But what other?
That's it. Let's just wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up and go home.
Jonathan Mills, Millsy.
Thanks for having us.
Millsy Neath on Twitter. Thank you very much for joining us. JB, top work.
Thank you very much, Tim.
And when's Phil? Is Phil back next week?
No, we've got Dan Carter in next week, and then Phil's back.
Aaron Smith, he's not doing anything.
Aaron Smith is at a loose end. Yeah, get him in. And he needs a bit of light relief, so he can come in.
Right, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Subscribe on iTunes, leave us a review there, Acast as well. We'll see you next time in a bit.
Bye bye.
Cool. Oh, Cornerstone.
Let me just turn off the.
Just record this at the end.
Fire away. Shall we try and.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.